In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. I'm sure I'm not the only one in church this morning who has watched Simon Sinek's 2009 TEDx talk entitled, How Great Leaders Inspire Action. I've watched that talk three or four times over the course of the last few years, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's sitting in this church who's watched it, because it's the third most popular TED talk ever shared on that platform. It's been viewed almost 50 million times. In the talk, Sinek shares the concept of the golden circle. He draws three concentric circles on a flip chart, and in the middle circle, he writes, why? In the first outer ring, he writes, how? And in the most outer ring, he writes, what? Sinek theorizes that most leaders work from the outside in. They start with what, move to the how, in hopes of eventually landing in the why. Sinek says that every single company or organization knows what they do. What's are easily identifiable. Virtually everyone is able to describe a product a company sells or the services an institution or an organization provides. He continues that some, not all, but some are able to express the how. Some organizations or companies or institutions are able to articulate how they do what they do and how they are different over and against other companies or communities. In the business world to whom Sinek speaks and writes, it means how they do something better than their competition. He goes on to explain that even fewer communities can explain why they do what they do. He claims the majority of leaders say what they do, some say how they do it, but they rarely say why they do what they do. He draws a distinction between leaders and inspired leaders. He claims inspired leaders work from the inside out. He says when an organization articulates their why, and those who are listening believe it, we will go above and beyond to include their offerings in our lives. He says that we will embrace those beliefs because they represent the values that are important to us. They make us feel as though we belong. Sinek, as many in his field do, goes on to present the brain science around why we follow the patterns he suggests. It's no accident that Sinek's material goes viral. It resonates. It's strong. Earlier this week, as I read this passage we have from Luke, again, my mind went to Sinek's talk. I feel like this is a perfect example of the tension between leadership and inspired leadership. You heard the story this morning. The scene opens with Jesus teaching in the temple on the Sabbath. It's Saturday morning, and Jesus is doing what rabbis do. He's in church preaching a sermon, doing his best to inspire and educate, to lead out those who are seeking to follow or do the will of God. And in comes this woman, right? We heard about it. The story says that the woman is bent over and crippled, that she is unable to stand up straight, and that she has been unable to stand up straight for 18 years. 18 years this woman has suffered. I like to think she's late to church because it takes her some extra time and a whole lot of extra effort to get there. I like to think that she's been late to church for 18 years. That is, when she feels good enough to go to church at all. She's always late because she moves so slowly. I imagine she suffers too. I imagine it hurts to go to church. But she goes to church anyway. What happens next? Of course, Jesus doesn't do what most of us preachers probably would do. We'd probably just go on, but he stops the sermon. He stops it right in the middle. He calls this woman over to him. Imagine the discomfort in the room. Imagine the tension. He says to her, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." He lays his hands on her, maybe for a prayer, maybe for a blessing, or maybe just for acknowledging touch. And in this moment, the woman is made well. The story says she is able to stand up straight. She's able to stand up straight for the first time in 18 years. She's able to be a part of her church, a part of her community without pain. Pain-free for the first time in 18 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the feeling in that place at that time with those people, especially the woman? Can you imagine that happening here right now? Imagine the feeling that would be in this place. And what happens next? It's amazing, right? It's unbelievable, right? The leadership, the religious leadership, the people like me, the people like Brian, the people like Suzanne, what do they do? Amazing. While the people must have been feeling that inspiring moment, while people must have been feeling that healing moment, the religious leadership says to one another and to Jesus and to this woman who has been miraculously healed and is pain-free for the first time in 18 years, the religious leadership says to this inspired gathering, they say, Hey, Mr. Jesus, who do you think you are, man? Everyone knows you're supposed to wait until Monday to do what you did. And we think, what? Really? Like, you have completely missed the point. Completely, the scene shifts from inspired leader to uninspired leaders. Now, this is a perfect example of uninspired leadership. They know what they do, right? They know what they do. They do church. They know how they do it, even. They do it on Saturday morning by getting together and not working during that time. But they are utterly lost as to the why. These leaders have become completely disconnected from the why, utterly disconnected from the why they do what they do. Not Jesus. He knows why. The very reason, I love being a part of you, being a part of y'all, is because the same cannot be said of you, of y'all, of us. You know the why. You, y'all, we know why we do what we do. We do it because we are beloved. We are beloved of God, and we are beloved of one another too. It's as simple as that. That's what all of this is about. This building, these pews, this music, these prayers, this campus, our programs, our sermons, our work together, our tears, our risks, our failures, our growth, our challenges to one another. Why do we do all of these things? We do it because we're beloved, and we want others to feel the love too. Belovedness is our yardstick. It is our plumb line. It is our compass. Belovedness is our reason, our purpose. Belovedness is our cause, St. John's. And I know I am preaching to the choir. This card, is not tied to a what. This card is not tied to a how. This card is tied to a why. Why do I fill out this card and turn it in and give? I do it because I am beloved. I do it because others might know they are too. Church, this thing that we have here, this is good. You are good. Y'all are good. We are good, and we are beloved, and others are too. All others, including uninspired leaders, those who want us to pray on Sunday and love on Monday. We will be more than that together, right? We will. We are. We are asking a lot of each other this morning, asking that we make a commitment to give over a resource in the coming year. For some of us, that resource has yet to materialize. It is a lot to ask, a lot. What are we asking for? I think you probably know already we're asking for $1 million. For $1 million. That's a lot of money. $1 million is so much money. But why? Why are we asking? We all know. We are beloved. We are. We already know that. And so many others need to know it too. And that's why. I am grateful to be a part of this cause with you. I'm grateful for what we have already done together. And that is a lot. Now, I'm grateful for the inspired leaders of our past and the inspired members of our church family who have already spread so much love in this valley. And I am grateful for the challenge that is in front of us. We can do this. I know we can. We will. Amen.